back. You're listening to It's All About Food. Oh, yes, I can relax now. We're going to be talking about fun vegan things with Jason Doss, who is the co-founder of Super Vegan. He's responsible for most of the design and front-end code of the site, supervegan.com, and more than a little of the content. Along with Deborah Diamant, Jason is a co-founder and co-organizer of Vegan Drinks. He's a freelance web developer and artist in various capacities, and you can keep tabs on his various rackets at jasondoss.com. Welcome to It's All About Food, Jason.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for joining me today. So, you know, when I think about the world of vegans, superheroes do come to mind.
Really? Which ones?
Well, I make them up. New
there
ones.
There you go.
The new vegan superheroes that have come to save the world.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'd rather turn that on its head and have it be, all the little people, not the superheroes who are doing it. If we wait for just the heroes to do it, that's not going to save the animals. What we need is for everybody, for the man on the street, as they say, who's looking up at Superman. He's
right.
Got to be vegan.
That reminds me of a musical that I was just participating in a reading for, a new musical called The Masked Zinfandel, and the moral of the story was that this masked superhero was really just some guy.
There you go. Be your own hero.
Be your own hero.
For someone else to save the world.
Right on. That's the ongoing message. Okay, so you started this super vegan thing about 6 years ago?
That's right. Yeah, almost exactly. We launched, and it was sometime in May. I forget the exact birthday. And it's been an interesting road. We've gone through a lot of permutations, and we're going through more now, which I won't talk about too much because announcing things that haven't happened yet has a bad habit of making them not happen exactly how you announced. But, Super Vegan has been a leading online resource for vegan information, and especially for New York City. We've done a big restaurant guide and a lot of blog posts about local events. And it's been great, and it's been really interesting to just watch the vegan web and internet presence change over that time.
Yeah, these last 6 years have been amazing in terms of change.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing. Which, obviously, you've kind of been keeping track of, if you've been...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in a participant to some degree, but also you become a very concerned fly on the wall when you have your own property in a space, of course. So just seeing who else does things well, seeing other sites pop up and then disappear again. One thing I will say for Super Vegan is that we feel like, ancient survivors at this point, which is a strange thing to say about a six-year-old, but that's the web for you.
Well, in the web blog world, that's pretty old.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it keeps you busy because here in New York City, the greatest city in the world, we have so many vegan restaurants and events.
We do. And this has changed a lot over the last 6 years, is the number of non-vegan places that are catering to vegans or are using the word vegan. You know, the word is just out there in a way that it wasn't 6 years ago, definitely wasn't 10 years ago, or, of course, longer ago. Just some random place somewhere will have something on the menu marked vegan. That, to me, is a tremendous victory, and I think that's really wonderful. But the word is out there, the concept is out there, and while going to vegan restaurants and supporting vegan businesses is a wonderful thing to do, it's also wonderful to be able to, have vegan options at as many places as possible. As far as the vegan events, I'll pick that one up. And, yeah, we're celebrating another birthday. And actually tomorrow, May 31st, it'll be the fourth anniversary of Vegan Drinks, which is a monthly after-work bar night that we've been doing in New York now for 4 years. And
wow.
We open-sourced the concept and said, take this, run with it, do it in your city. And now over 30 cities around the world have their own Vegan Drinks events, which is
okay, so Vegan Drinks, what does that consist of?
Showing up and drinking. And even that, we're pretty loose about. It is held in a bar. You do have to be over 21. That to me is the only weakness of the concept, is if you're under 21, you can't participate. And I don't feel great about that, but everything else I feel great about. And the idea was that, well, we really started out as copying. There were these other events, Green Drinks and Drinking Liberally were two events we were aware of where people were concerned about certain kinds of issues could mix and mingle without there being specific programmatic content, without there being a specific, activist hook, without paying any money, without even, in our case, even RSVPing. I mean, you just show up. And you can stay for 15 minutes. You can stay for 3 hours. You can stay at the bar after the event's over, and people sure do. Because we would provide an unstructured space. And I think this is really important for something vegan, that it wouldn't be about food first. It's so common for vegan social events to center around food for plenty of good and obvious reasons. And it was really important to us with Vegan Drinks that it wouldn't be about that. It would be about meeting people. You know, you go to a meetup dinner and you all sit down around the table and you talk to the three people next to you. Nothing wrong with that. You come to Vegan Drinks, you get a drink, and you talk to, it could be the three people next to you, but also it's just free movement. You can meet, 80 people, 100 people in a night, and I often have and forget their names, and that's a different problem. But just to have this big open-ended event where anything could happen, and the only hook was everybody here is either vegan or interested and supportive of veganism.
Now, what about the drinks itself? Because there are some drinks out there that aren't vegan.
That's for sure, yeah.
That's a detail, though.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to throw a quick aside shout-out to the Pine Box Rock Shop, which is the only explicitly vegan bar in New York City. They're great. We actually hosted last month's Vegan Drinks event there. They're out in Bushwick. So definitely, they have got a lot of amazing cocktails and everything. But there you can go, and you can just order anything because they've checked it out for you, and they make their own, even the really obvious stuff. Like they make an imitation of Bailey's Irish Cream and stuff like that. Of course, yes, the Bloody Marys don't have the Worcestershire sauce is vegan. Stuff that in a normal bar you would never assume. But they also, will check out that the wine and beer is vegan, and that's something that, we try to do for the bars where we have vegan drinks, is provide a list of, based on here's the kinds of beer they have on tap, here's the ones that are vegan or not. At this point, I mean, most American beers are vegan, and even a lot of foreign beers available here are. Actually, sometimes more of a problem with organic ones, unfortunately, but wine is a hairier thing. Most bars don't have that great a wine selection anyway, so that's, but if anybody doesn't know, if you do drink alcohol and you care about your drinks being vegan, barnivore.com is the ultimate resource, and Barnivore is really, really a wonderful site, and that's where we check it out. So, we do some due diligence, but mostly it's up to people, and, we're not, we don't care what you drink in the sense that people could come to Vegan Drinks and drink something non-vegan, and we're not policing that. Well, also, many people come and don't drink alcohol, although it is held in a alcohol-serving environment. There are plenty of, straight-edge people, teetotalers, et cetera, who show up and have a great time.
Is there anything special about this four-year anniversary event?
We're going to have some cake. So I just did the biggest mistake you can do when organizing a vegan event is say there'll be food. We will have some birthday cake that Verite Caterers, great caterers here in New York City, are hooking us up with. There'll be a celebratory atmosphere, but that's kind of true of every vegan drink. So, mostly we're just really proud that we've pulled this off for this long, that it's still going strong, that it's not boring, that people still want to come out. It's grown as an event. I mean, it's really, we used to worry, we have enough people, and now we always have plenty of people, which is wonderful.
Okay, so you said there are some things you can talk about, but can you tell me where you'd like Super Vegan to go? Is it just going to continue being an event spot and reviews of restaurants?
That's certainly not going away. A technical problem we've had for the history I won't get into, but basically we had problems with our user accounts, and people actually haven't been able to leave restaurant reviews for rather too long now. So just some obvious fixing. This is the other thing with, you know, building a website 6 years ago on a shaky technological foundation. There's, you know, it's a legacy problem. If you were starting fresh today, you would be starting with better tools.
Right.
That's just a problem of a lot of online applications and communities have. So the most obvious things are just fixing things like that are broken. But bigger, better, stronger, more modern, more useful, more information. I don't think there's anything that's going to totally shock anyone. So use your imaginations, you know.
Right.
It's going to be what it should be.
And what's your story? When did you start doing this vegan thing?
Sure, that's a good question. I was almost vegan for many years before I, you know, became, you know, actually said I'm vegan and stopped.
And, you know, almost vegan is a pretty good thing.
It is, yeah. I think the only problem with almost vegans is if you go around saying you're vegan and then doing things that aren't vegan, that I really do think that does mess it up for other people. So before I was 100%, I never claimed I was. And I would encourage others to do the same. You know, for me, it was somebody brought brownies to work. Well, yeah, I'm going to eat a free brownie, sure. You know, not a vegan thing to do. You're lost in an airport somewhere, and, you know, the only food you can get isn't vegan, and you willing to eat it, great. But then, you know, please don't go around claiming you're vegan. So I didn't, and this went on for a long time. And at some point I realized, I know veganism is a good idea. I know I believe in it. I'm just apparently not ready to commit to it. I waited till the path of least resistance arrived. I was working in a vegan office. I was living with a vegan girlfriend. I mean, it was sort of, you know, again, it was really only if I ended up in odd situations that I wasn't vegan in the first place. And the same had happened with going vegetarian maybe, you know, 8 years before that. I had been almost vegetarian for so long at a certain point. I was just like, you know what, just go with it. Not that big a deal. And I would encourage the gradual approach for everyone. I mean, I think if you do any major lifestyle change overnight or cold turkey, you're going to have a lot more trouble with it. And you probably won't feel it as deeply, so you'll have an easier time turning around on it.
Right. Well, I like to say that in the real world, none of us are truly, truly vegan because there are so many animal products and so many different things, it's just impossible to avoid being exposed to them in one way or another. You fly JetBlue and you're sitting on leather seats and you use different plastic containers and they may have some animal derivative in them, and it's really impossible to know.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's impossible. I mean, you can do whatever diligence you can. It's when you know something. It's when you know you're spending. To me, veganism is a consumer movement, consumer thing, beginning and end. That's all veganism is. And if you're knowingly purchasing something that contains animal products, especially for a non-essential need, I mean, by that I mean not a, you know, essential medication or something, I mean, then just don't use the word. Find another word.
Find another word.
What I think is really important is not that people are considered vegan, to say I'm vegan, and I'm working through this myself. It's old habits die hard. But that a product be vegan, a menu item be vegan, that a restaurant can say they're vegan, meaning, you know, they don't use animal products in their kitchen, in their business. That to me makes a lot more sense than a person claiming to be vegan and then going, you know, we can poke these holes in it. But, you know, say I only eat a vegan diet, I only buy vegan food, I only buy vegan clothes, you know, and that's pretty different from saying I'm not going to ask that policeman for help because he's wearing leather shoes, or I'm going to stop paying taxes because the government spends money on non-vegan things. We're all going to have degrees of what matters to us. For instance, I have trouble watching, you know, going to a movie, even if I've heard good things about it, if I know an animal is killed live on screen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately happens in some good movies.
Yep.
On the flip side, I've seen plenty of movies where I'm sure everybody's eating meat, you know, in the catering truck.
Yep.
And, you know, this is about my comfort level with things. It's not about saving lives.
Yeah, well, I don't like watching a lot of movies where there's just a lot of reckless violence just for gratuitous violence.
Oh, I mean genuine, the animal is killed on screen. I don't mean simulated. You know, I you know, unfortunately, it's just something too. You know, it definitely, there are movies out there where that's the case. I mean, movie Old Boy is out there, and it's like, I really want to see it, but eat the live octopus. What am I going to do? I haven't seen it, even though I think I'd love everything else about the movie. Whereas I'm sure I've watched plenty of movies where somebody is eating octopus, but it's already dead.
Yeah.
What do we do with this? Does it matter? No. Well, it's kind of a distraction. What really matters is, you know, affecting larger change to, especially, of course, industrial animal agriculture.
Okay, I want to know something. You mentioned vegan clothes. Where does a hip guy get good clothing that's vegan?
Well, look, the hard part is shoes. You know, everything else, at this day and age, you can get a non-wool suit, no problem. You can belts and shoes, in fact. You know, I think if you go with all fabric, that's really not an appropriate look. And the fake leathers are just not up there in terms of quality, in most cases. I also have really problem feet. So basically I have a pair of, two pairs of nice shoes, shiny black ones and some Swedish ones. They're both Novaka's brands. Neither of them are comfortable, but when I've got the wedding or the funeral or the right kind of work event where it's just, you need to do it, I'm happy to wear them because I wear them infrequently. They'll last a long time. I think it's tough to say. It's kind of like the mock meat argument is, well, you're going to feel left out if you can't have something that looks like a hot dog at the barbecue. And a lot of us would.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoy everything about that except the fact that the animal products involved. So, you know, you want shoes that are modeled on leather shoes, but especially for menswear, there's just such a tiny selection. And if you have problem feet like I do, I mean, that rules out 80% of what's left just because they won't work with my feet problems. So it's, you know, that's something where I welcome more and more vegan options.
It'll come. You know, it's just going to take time. There's certainly a lot for women, but just the men thing hasn't come up to speed.
Exactly. You know, and the other thing I want to say about clothes in general, and this isn't just limited to the leather analog, is, you know, the environmental and the labor costs of where so much of our clothing comes from, it's just atrocious. And this is not, you know, it's not a vegan issue in that they're animal products directly, but really buying new clothing at the rate that most people do in New York, in the U.S., in most of the first world is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't use these things till they're used up. I mean, you know, it's like food waste, but even worse. So really, you know, buying used clothing if you can, wearing what you have, not buying something unless you think you'll really get a lot of use out of it, and buying well-made things. And, you know, if it can be made from sustainably grown plants. And, it, you know, on the opposite extreme, like PVC is vegan, but it's, you know, the worst thing you can do for the planet otherwise. So this is where clothing is an area where, you know, when you look at the sweatshop labor, it's like, including a lot of fancy clothes, and I mean, certainly all the cheap ones, but a lot of fancy ones too are coming from a horrible place. And that often ties into the same reasons we're vegan.
That's
so,
right.
Clothes are tough.
Make your own.
Yeah. Well, but even then, where's your thread coming from?
Where's your fabric
coming from? And this is where, you know, the only true vegans are if you're living in a hermetically sealed cave somewhere. I mean, it's.
But we have to believe it's going to get better.
We do. And I think really what it does come down to is it's just, you know, there's these big obvious things that we can work on, and chasing the minutia and the marginalia is a losing game for everyone.
I want to talk about your artwork for a moment.
Sure.
So you can go to jasondoss.com and see a lot of the things that you're working on, and you're very talented.
Thank you, but you know, it's all it's practice, like anything.
Right. practice, yes. And one of the things I wanted to ask you is when you're working in I'm not really sure what all the mediums are that you're working in here, but I know that some of the art materials aren't vegan. What do you do there?
Yeah. No, I'm glad you asked about that. And this is another area where there's just not a lot of material. I mean, if mm-hmm. you're concerned about, you know, something I would love to do is have an equivalent of Barnabore, but for vegan art supplies, you know, instead of alcoholic drinks. There's not an easy or obvious resource. It's not something that the art supply community as a whole cares very much about.
Nope.
And it's also something where you maybe don't know what's really in something. I mean,
the paints don't come with real ingredients.
Labels. We have ingredients labels for food, but, you know, and paint actually they kind of do, but, I mean, the way a paper is made, mm-hmm. a lot of watercolor paper is sized with gelatin, but I discovered recently that, in fact, it's often synthetic gelatin. I mean, stuff like that. It's like you don't even know what it means.
Right.
The most obvious low-hanging fruit is, okay, yeah, stay away from buying feathers for your art, stay away from, you know, buying leather. And people do these things, and, okay, those are easy. Brushes are a tough one where generally the most, what are considered the best paintbrushes or, well, any kind of brushes, are made with animal hair.
Yeah.
And that goes from the coarse ones with the hog bristles or whatever to the very fine sable. I mean, if you wouldn't wear a fur coat, why would you use a fur brush? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't use either. And the good part is I don't know what I'm missing out on. It's not like I used stable brushes for years and then tried to switch to synthetic, but by the time I was invested enough in my art and had enough money to have my pick of brushes, I mean, I would have only wanted the synthetic one, but anyway. The good thing is that I think synthetic brushes are getting better. I think, I don't know if it's driven by the same ethical dimensions of you know,
no,
veganism
it's just
per
probably
se, but
cheap.
Yeah, exactly. It's mm-hmm. cost. It's reliability too. I mean, as with any natural product, you can't necessarily guarantee that the consistency. So, I mean, this is the same with industrial produced food, vegan or otherwise. They can get that consistency. So supply, you know, manufacturers like that. Many types of glue are not vegan. I mean, this is something with, you know, a stringed instrument. I play guitar and cello, and, you know, are those actually made with, I can avoid the ones with mother of pearl inlays, I guess, but, you know, is the glue
I know
vegan?
There's the drums have skin on them and the strings.
Yeah, drum skins are a big one. I mean, strings are almost always synthetic at this point. Drum heads.
The violin,
you know,
bow.
Violet with hair, exactly. And actually, I wish I could remember their name. I might try to Google it right now. That was a big one. I'm literally Googling now because I want to give them a shout out now.
Yeah.
Vegan bow, basically there's a company, they're down in Kentucky or something, who make these very non-traditional, but to me, excellent bows. I can't find it. I know PETA gave them an award a few years ago. So, and they didn't come at it from a vegan perspective. I think they had a plastic factory or something. I mean, they realized they could make these quality bows, and people would like them. And, of course, they're happy about the vegan market, but that's not why they went into it.
It just makes you think we're surrounded by so many different products, and we really are privileged to have access to so many different things. But then, you know, we need to pay attention and know where these things come from and think about what they're made of and just everything.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's it. I mean, even if you're not, for whatever reasons, interested in being vegan or ready to be vegan, just paying attention where your consumables come from. And that's not something that comes natural to a lot of people. You know, same with labor conditions, with the environmental footprint of what you're buying, and thinking about the wider picture. You know, it's like people will say, oh, this is a handmade, you know, shirt. I bought it on Etsy. It's like, well, where'd the fabric come from? Where'd the thread come from?
Well,
and they're not ready to think about that.
We've come to the end of our show, Jason. So much for joining me on It's All About Food, and thank you for all you're doing with Super Vegan, and have a great vegan drinks event, and have a great day.